And I want to say that it's such a blessing to get to preach tonight, especially because this morning the message Pastor preached, this entire series he's been preaching through John has really blessed my heart. And I want to go back just a tad and read a couple of verses that kind of led him into this whole thing and kind of give us the idea of where we're going to tonight. The Lord's just kind of spoken in a way tonight that I hope that we can be used by Him, and I hope that He can speak to you the way He spoke to me today. And I'm just going to read over this quickly. As Pastor said this morning, what got him started was these two verses in John 20 and 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. The whole idea that pastors went on has been that ye might believe. And that's our goal. That is where we're trying to get to as pastors, as Christians, is to talk to people about the Lord and share the gospel with people and to preach the gospel and to even sing the gospel in song, is that you might believe. Unfortunately, though, many times in the Christian life, we have a problem with belief. You know, one of the messages that the pastor preached, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." Unfortunately, sometimes it's not that we don't believe God can, it's that we don't believe God will. It's not that God is unable, not that God is incapable, it's that we doubt that He'll do it for us. And tonight, if I can, just for a little while, I'd like to talk about standing in the shadow of doubt. Sometimes we get caught up standing in the shadow of doubt, and that leads us back to the book of Matthew, chapter number 11. And if you found it, if you don't mind to stand out of reverence to God's Word, we'll start in verse number 1. The Bible says this, "And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. We're so thankful for the opportunity, for the privilege and the blessing to stand behind this sacred desk, and for the opportunity, the blessing, and privilege it is to be in this house, in your house tonight, Father. Lord, we look upon all of these other countries and look upon all these other worlds out there, and Lord, we see that this isn't a freedom that everyone has, but Lord, we have it. And Lord, we thank you for this freedom. We thank you for this great country, and we ask you to be with it and be in the service tonight. Father, we ask you to touch us, your servant tonight, Father. Lord, anoint our lips and anoint our tongues so that, Father, we could preach your word. But Lord, we don't want to do it within ourselves. Lord, we want you to do it through us, Father. Lord, help us, Lord, that we'll be obedient to your will. And Lord, that anything that's said and done here tonight, that it'll give you praise and glory. And Lord, that it will direct each and every heart here tonight back to you. Father, it's in your Son's sweet name we do pray, and amen. You can be seated. I've heard it said several times that the opposite of faith is doubt. It absolutely is. The opposite of faith is certainly doubt. In this scripture, we have just a tiny little illustration of a little bit of doubt. Not a lot of doubt, just a little bit of doubt. John had been in prison, and in fact, if we go back, we see that Jesus first spake of John being in prison. I believe it's chapter 4, verse number 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. John had been in prison for some time now. And during this time in prison, he probably, I would imagine, had somebody whispering in his ear. The same person that many times come whispering in our ear whenever we get a little down, we get a little upset, we get a little worried. Something comes along that puts us out of our realm. Maybe Satan was coming along and giving John just a little bit of doubt. Well, if God cared for you, would you be here? Well, if Jesus, the Messiah, was truly coming, would you be stuck here in this prison, or would he have not came here yet? So many times this adversary of ours will whisper, if nothing else, doubt in our ear and cause us to doubt ourselves. And John sat in this prison and he heard, hey, there's good things happening. There's some wonderful things happening. So he sent a couple of disciples. And rather than just trusting when they would hear what Jesus had done, rather than trusting, hey, this has to be the Son of God, they said, are you the one or should we look for another? Sometimes good things happen and we even wonder ourselves, was that God? Was it God that blessed there? Of course it was God. All things that are good, all good things come down from the Father in heaven. We know that God is the author of all blessings. He is the reason good things happen. But sometimes that little shadow of doubt will get in our mind and we'll begin to worry. And even John, Jesus said, and Pastor even went on this morning, this is one of the things that gave me the whole idea, was Jesus said in that same chapter, chapter 11, verse 11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Jesus had a lot of respect for John. Jesus knew that John had done great things and would do great things. Jesus trusted John. Jesus knew that John would kind of be a forerunner, someone who would prepare a lot of ears, someone who would kind of begin to soften a few hearts as he would go along and get them ready to hear the real meat of the word. You know, we all need to get a little milk before we can get any meat. Jesus kind of used John to give a little milk before he came along. And I've realized in life that there are really two types of people. There are unbelievers who doubt often. And then there are believers that doubt occasionally. But regardless, everybody doubts. We all doubt. We all worry. We all wonder sometimes. And we all think that God's not listening today, or that God's not going to bless today, or something is going to happen that is just going to put us in complete peril. And sometimes it gets a little scary. But all the things that Jesus does, all that he can do, will do, and has done, that ought to give us enough hope to know that we can believe, that ye may believe. So I want to look at three different ideas tonight and kind of exposit on the verses here if I can. The first thing I'll look at is found in verses 2 and 3 is the common reality of doubt. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? We have to consider where John was. We have to consider what was going on with John. And we have to consider that it had been some time that John had been locked up in prison. I'll be honest, it probably wouldn't take me long for me to start getting a little worried. It probably wouldn't take me long in prison before doubt began to cross my mind and worries begin to come in. It probably wouldn't take me very long at all, maybe hours. John was vulnerable at this time, probably more vulnerable than he had ever been before. And as Satan whispered in his ear, as the soldiers no doubt tempted him, and all of these thoughts began to grow in his mind, and as we typically do as humans, we begin to feed ourselves, all of a sudden he hears of some good things happen, and John becomes a little skeptical, just a little bit skeptical. Hey, it could be Jesus, but I want you to make sure. It could be God, but I want you to make sure. I'll tell you what it reminds me of. It reminds me of the first Sunday of July. This is going to blow your mind. The first Sunday of July 2 years ago, I sat back there on that seat. It was our first Sunday here. First Sunday here we visited. And I sat back there after leaving a church, and I was spiritually dead. I was broken inside, and we sat down, and the choir began to sing, and I began to feel something I hadn't felt in a little while. I began to hear people around the church. They would shout and they would say amen. And I had longed to hear this again. And then the preacher got up and he began to preach. And I was being fed and I hadn't been fed in a long time. And I was hungry and I was starving. And what did I do? Rather than praise God, I said, yeah, but am I just excited to be somewhere else? I began to doubt. I began to get skeptical. Well, then Sunday night we came back and we came in and the same choir got up and it blessed my heart again. The same preacher got up and it fed my soul again. And I began to wonder, hey, maybe this is God. Maybe this is God working in my life. And maybe this is God bringing me out of this hungry state, bringing me out of this dry and thirsty land. Maybe this is God bringing me out of desolation. But I was skeptical at first. So many times good things will come our way and we've been so negative and we've been trained to be so negative for so long that we say, well, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. If those shoes are on sale, they probably won't last long. If you got a really good deal on that car, it's probably a lemon. If that preacher's preaching really good, he probably got paid before the service. Can't tell me you haven't thought it. We have such a negative idea about so many things that we get skeptical even about blessings. God, is that really you? Well, of course it is. Last time I checked, Satan has never thrown anything but stumbling blocks in my way. Last time I checked, Satan is not able to bless my family or to bless my home. Satan is not capable of putting food on my table or a little bit of money on Friday morning in my bank. Satan don't do those things. He's not worried about doing you some good. He's worried about doing you some harm. And if you're already wondering, he's not going to do you any favors anyway because you're almost where he wants you. Sometimes we enter this shadow of doubt. Sometimes we're standing there, just like John was standing there, and he began to wonder, could this be Jesus? You better go and make sure. What do you face? What happens? What kind of doubts do you have? Well, if God loves me, then why is this happening? I would love to have a dollar for every atheist or agnostic person that I've talked to, that's their first question. If there's a God, then why do bad things happen? Well, then when I really confuse them and I begin to read them Isaiah 45 and 7, that really throws them off. Well, God creates peace and he makes evil. I, the Lord thy God, do all these things because God's in control of all things. Why do bad things happen? Well, because you don't even understand what bad is or what good is. You're going with a human ideology of what good and bad is, and evil and good, and peace and happiness, and all of these things. You're going with this simple mind, not the mind of God Almighty. Maybe what he's doing seems bad because you don't see the picture of how it'll relate down the road. Amen. Who knows why God does things he does? His thoughts are above our thoughts. Right. His ways are not our ways. He's God, I'm not, and I am so glad. Every day that I wake up, I'm glad I'm not God because I would make some changes. And it would not work out, not even for me. I can barely see 2 inches in front of my nose. God sees through eternity. God sees the day that we get to stand together and throw crowns at the feet of Jesus and bow at his feet. God sees all the way to the day that we stand at the great white throne judgment and he begins to tell us, hey, you done all right. He begins to tell those that are lost, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. God sees to that day. God sees how this thing will end up. God sees what the future holds. I see what just happened. I don't even see what's going to happen in 5 minutes from now. I can't possibly, there is no possible way that I can justify a decision or a reaction that God would be in control of. Because I don't understand. If God loves me, why is this happening? If God is with me, why do I feel alone? Chances are God didn't move. Chances are it wasn't God that stepped out of the way and it isn't God who stopped listening. It isn't God who decided that you had something better to do. Most of the time when we feel alone, it's not because God's moved, it's because we've moved. And then there are times when we feel alone that it's not that either of us are moved. It's just God's letting us letting us feel a little bit of world, so that whenever he does wrap us up in his arms, we can have a thankful heart. There's been so many times that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has put me through trials and allowed me to deal with things so that when I would come out of this, my faith would grow. So that when I would come out of this, I would have nothing more than just a testimony. I look back at just a little while before Eli was born, Mom was diagnosed with cancer, and we were so worried, we were so scared, and cancer had never really hit our family that close. I mean, great aunts and great uncles and family, friends, and people like that, but never like this. I was at work one day, and Mom called. She said, "Hey, when you can, on your way home tonight, just stop in. I'd like to talk to you for just a second." And I thought, this can't be good. Mom didn't do that. That's not what Mom does. She said, "But before it goes any further, before my appearance changes, before I have to go to a bunch of doctor's appointments, I found out today that I have cancer." Well, everybody else is tore all to pieces. Everybody else is just scared to death. I remember laying in bed at night, and I would just jump up in the bed and just start to cry because I didn't understand why that my mom had to have cancer. I had already began to dig her grave. In my own mind, I had begun to let her die. And one day I asked, I said, "Mom, why is everybody else as scared? Why is it everybody else is tore up? Why is it that you are so calm?" She said, "Because there's only two outcomes that could happen." She said, "I either get to be with my Savior, or I get to have one more testimony to tell about my Savior, and either one's just fine with me."
Amen.
I'm glad I was raised in a Christian home like that.
Yeah.
I hope that one day I can have faith like that. But in my doubts, she believed. In my worries, she trusted.
Yeah.
You know what? About a year after that, she was in remission. Now she doesn't have to see the doctor. She wears the scars, and that's about it. But you know what the most amazing thing about it is? Every chance she gets, she tells people what he did. And she said one day, she said, "You know what? He blessed me double." I said, "How do you figure?" She said, "Because I get to testify, and I still get to go see him one day."
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
What faith? But sometimes we have doubt. Is living for God even worth it? Of course. But sometimes we have doubts. Sometimes we stand in the shadow of doubts. And these are common. Even to Christians, these are common. You say, "Preacher, how can that be common? I've never been there before." Then you better hold on. Because it may come sooner than you expect. I even look at Psalms chapter 10, verse 1. David said, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Why does it seem like God is so far away when I'm going through so much?" Well, I'll tell you why. Because one of the beauties of being a Christian is you know where your help comes from. And when you feel like you need the help the most and you're not getting it, that's when you're looking for God the most. It's not that he's standing afar off. It's not that he's moved. It may not even be that you've moved. It may just be a valley. It may just be a valley. But don't worry. I want you to think about this. Is God always on the mountain? Do you always find God himself on the mountaintop? Sort of. Whenever you're on the mountaintop is when you feel God the most, right? So you feel his presence on that mountaintop is always there. So when you're down in the valley, who do you think is on the mountaintop watching over you?
Amen.
Why do you think that God is so far above us? Because sometimes it's hard to look up and see a whole lot. But it's easy for him to look down on us and know that we're okay. It's easy for him to look down on us and know what's coming our way and protect us and shield us. I think about that song the choir sung tonight. He hides me in the cleft of the rock. You know, I think about the cleft of the rock. You know, if you get in the cleft of a rock, you can still see what's going on outside the rock. You can still see what's going on, but it's not affecting you. It's not hurting you. It can't get to you. He hides you back in there so that you can look out and see, hey, this is what I'm escaping because of him. This is what he's doing and protecting me from. This is how he's working things out for my good. And then when you step out from the rock, it's almost like, everybody ever seen the movie Twister? Remember how dark and scary it was there at the end when that big F5 tornado hits that big farm? It was dark, and it was almost like you could hear the storm, like the storm itself was mad. It was making noises that you would imagine a rabid dog making. But then all of a sudden, everything stopped, and you looked out, and the sky was just as blue, and the sun was shining just so bright. Sometimes the problems we go through is just so that we'll understand that in those dangerous and scary times, that at the end of it, God has a beautiful sight for us. God has a blessing in store for us. We just have to get through that hard time. I love Psalms 23, but my favorite word in that verse is through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He doesn't say to. He doesn't say near. He didn't say part of the way through. He says through. Now, if you go to a tunnel, that means you didn't get through. You didn't come out the other side. If you go into a tunnel, that means you only got so far in. But if you go through a tunnel, that means you had to enter and exit. Yeah. I'm glad that no matter what comes my way, as long as I will trust in God, as long as I will believe, and as long as I will keep my feet as firmly planted as I possibly can, that he will hold on to me. And I will make it through whatever comes my way. It's very cliche, but the old saying, if God will bring you to it, he'll get you through it. It's so true. Yeah. We see that not only is there a common reality of doubt, there's also a correct reaction to doubt. In verses number 4 and 5, Jesus begins to answer John's doubt. He said, And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus just kind of reacts in a way, and he didn't show anger. He wasn't upset. He just says, here's what I want you to go tell John. Okay? John's wanting to know if it's me. So I want you to go back to John. I want you to see if this sounds familiar to maybe what we just read back in Isaiah chapter number 35. It says this right here, starting in verse number 4. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then, here we go, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and the streams in the desert. Don't that sound familiar? What did Jesus tell him? Look what I've done. In essence, he says, I want you to look at what I've done, and you tell me who I am. You look at what I've done, and you tell me if I am the Messiah. You tell me if I am the Son of God. What do we do when we begin to enter into the shadow of doubt? When we begin to stand there in the shadow of doubt? Well, first you need to look at what he's done for you already. Look at what he's done for you already. I go back and in the last couple of years, I can see blessings, but man, some of you know we went through some really hard times. Kind of went through the ringer a little bit. And at the time, felt a whole lot of doubt in my life. At the time, I was scared. I was tore up. There was times that Brother Rick even asked me to stand up here and preach. And I worried, God, how in the world can I preach and tell these folks to have faith when I doubt my own faith? Yeah. And it was like I heard the same thing every time. It ain't their problem that you are doubting your faith. It ain't their problem that you're worrying. But you hold to the truth. And whether you can believe it or not, it's the truth. So you preach it. So you forget your doubts. You forget your worries. And you know what would happen sometimes? I would worry and think, I can't stand and preach tonight. But I can't say I can't. So I'll go ahead. And after I sat down, I think, you know, nobody else got anything, but I needed to hear that. Thank you, Lord. When I'm too stubborn to listen to someone else when they're preaching, sometimes I'll listen to myself and what you're saying, and thank you. And then things begin to work out. And all those problems begin to be prayers answered. Every time that it seemed like that God was kind of letting me get into a setback, it was more like a setup for a blessing. Every time something would seem to be bad, God would work it out for my good. And now, half of the worries, anxieties, battles, trials that I faced, I don't even remember them hardly. Why? Because they're not worth worrying about now. They're not worth thinking about now because I've came through it. Look at what God has already done for you. Another thing you need to do, if you're standing right now in the shadow of doubt, you need to look at what God's doing for you right now. You say, if I do that, I'll get awful worried. Well, I'm sorry that you didn't eat today. I'm sorry that you didn't have transportation to church. I'm sorry that your clothes are torn and tattered and you don't have a home to go to. I'm sorry that you don't have a friend in the world, and I'm sorry that Jesus doesn't love you. Every one of those things are lies, aren't they? Sounds like he's doing quite a bit for you. Whether you want to consider them or not, or whether you want to think about how that God is being good to you and blessing you right now, he is. He is providing more for you right now than you even deserve, even if you don't see it. It may just be a season of getting by, but a season of getting by, you're still getting by. Brother Steve has reminded me so many times. We text back and forth sometimes. And every time he texts, he always tells me, there's great things coming your way. You may not know this. That text has blessed my heart. You tell you why it's blessed my heart? Because there's a lot of times I worried. There's a lot of times I wondered. But I knew that my brother Steve sending me that, he was praying for me. And I knew at these times where I've went around to a few different people in this church, and I've just said, you know, I pray for my family, if you will. Just remember some prayer. I won't go into detail, but just pray for us. It made me realize, you know what, they was praying for me. They were lifting me up to God. And I look at what he did. I look at what he's doing. It blesses my heart. But if you're standing in the shadow of doubt, I want you to look at what he's going to do. You say, preacher, how can I look into the future? You said yourself that I can't see 5 minutes from now. No, you can't. But I'll tell you what you can see. You can see the promise that he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm going with him. What else matters? If I never see another material blessing on this earth, if I never feel the abundant love that I've felt so many times from him again on this earth, I know that at the end of this life, I'm going with him. So if I look at what he's done, I look at what he's doing, and I look at what he's going to do, it's really hard for me to doubt, if I'm honest. If it's still hard to doubt, take a walk through Romans 8 and Philippians 4. I'll tell you what's hit me in Romans chapter 8. I'll tell you how it's affected me just in the last couple years. I used to go through Romans chapter 8 and I'd read verse 18. I'd read verse 28, and I'd read verse 31. I'd go through all these different scriptures. But then I really got to looking here at the end. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And boy, that just excites the far out of me. So, there's good things happen to good people. That's great. So he's working everything out for our good. So the sufferings of this present life ain't worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. That sounds good. But what if I mess up? Well, nothing. 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 No thing, not a thing, there isn't anything can separate us from the love of Christ. That makes me happy. Take a walk through there when you start feeling down. You start feeling doubtful. You get worried. I'll finish with this. You know, there's a correct reaction to doubt. Jesus shows that. There's a common reality of doubt. John shows that. Look at the counsel regarding doubt in verse number 6. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Jesus didn't chastise John. He didn't chastise him. He didn't fuss at him. He didn't belittle him. But he did give him advice about his mindset. If you're not offended in me, you'll be blessed. Doubt's like cancer. If we'll let it, it'll grow, it'll show, and it'll eventually destroy us. Eventually. So if I were to think of a few different things I would think about doubt, I would always think it leads to death, wouldn't you? Doubting will always lead to death. You let the doubt fester. You see where it leads you. It'll lead you to death. Don't die. Pray. Pray. One of the best pieces of advice I got, I was talking to a preacher friend of mine one day, and we were talking about some of the situation. It was right after I had the wreck in my male Jeep. And I said, it's so hard to even pray anymore. He said, then stop praying for you. I said, what do you mean? I need to pray for me. At this current time, I feel like I need more prayer than anybody. He said, so maybe you do. But stop praying for you. Because you praying for you ain't doing you no good. Pray for me. Why do you need prayer? I have arthritis in my knee. And? Pray for my arthritis in my knee. I get up to preach sometimes and I feel like I'm going to have to cut it short because I'm hurting so bad. Pray for me that God will give me strength. He said, it's become a real burden. He said, it's gotten so bad that there are mornings that I wake up and I have to wait and go visiting 2 or 3 hours late because I can't hardly stand up on my knee. He said, it's a real burden. I need your prayers. Pray for my knee. What's silly? Well, that night I was sitting in there and I got to thinking about him. I said, well, you know, I hate that for him. I remember pastoring and that has to be a real burden. I began to pray for him. And I forgot to pray for me. And it was the weirdest thing. I felt like I was actually talking to God. I called him one day. I said, how's your knee feeling? He said, it ain't that bad. How you been feeling? I said, you know what? A little more peaceful than I've been. I'm not so upset. I'm able to keep some food down. I got to where I couldn't even eat. And when I did eat, I'd just throw it up. I was so nervous all the time, worried. Didn't know what was going to happen. He said, you know all that time you've been praying for me, you might be praying 2 or 3 times a day. He said, I ain't told them your name, but I guarantee you there's at least 50 people that I've talked to that's praying for you. They know your situation, but they don't know who you are. Some of them don't even know you, but they're praying for you. He said, listen, in those times when you can't pray for yourself, let somebody else pray for you, and you pray for somebody else. Because if you can't talk to God for you, somebody else might can. But maybe you can get through for them when they can't. That's how we work together. Don't die, pray. Don't die, seek counsel. I'm going to guarantee that there is not a preacher in this church, there's not an older Christian in this church that wouldn't be more than willing to talk to you when you're going through a doubtful time. There is times in your life where you need to talk to someone who's went a few more miles than you have. You need to talk to somebody who maybe has a few more trials under their belt. And you know what you're going to find out? You're not crazy for having doubts. They did too. You know what you're going to find out? That you're not the only one that worries about some of these things you worry about. They have too. And then you know what happens? It's the craziest thing how this works. This is just God's people being God's people. You begin to feel like there's a hedge being prayed around you. Because God's people will lift you up. Don't die getting the word. You begin to get worried. You begin to get doubtful and upset. You open up your Bible. Whether you find a book to go through, you find a person to study on, or if you just open it up every day and just read, you get in the word. You get in the word. If nothing else, you're going to make the devil real good and mad, and it's worth that every chance you get. But you know what you're going to find? You're going to find some beautiful scripture that lets you know that it's all right. God's still there. He still loves you, and he still cares. Get in the word. There is hope. Doubt happens, but you don't have to live there. Why does God bless, and why do we have these scriptures, and why do we hear of all the things that God has done, that ye might believe.
Amen.
Our Father, we come before you tonight so thankful, so blessed. Lord, we know sometimes, God, we become doubtful. We get worried. Sometimes our adversary, Lord, he'll get in our ear. He'll distract us. He'll take problems that we're currently dealing with, and Lord, he'll use them, try to use them against you. But Lord, we know, God, that You are real. And Lord, we know, God, that your love is amazing. And Lord, we know that you are able to do all things. You're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we may ask or think, your word tells us. And Lord, we trust that. Father, we know that there may be some here tonight that doubt. But Lord, we pray tonight, Father, Lord, that you would open their ears and open their heart, Lord, and let them hear you tonight, Father, that they may believe. Lord, we thank you for all your many blessings. And Lord, we put all of these things in your hands, and we ask you just to make them grow. Let the seeds grow where they're planted. And Lord, we ask you to help us to see a harvest one day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.